And so I love Dennis Swanberg. I thank God for he and his family. Would you welcome him back to this place tonight?
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. Y'all blew that horn well today, but the walls didn't come tumbling down, did they? That's all right. That's a good thing. And hey, Allison, I was sort of noticing your man's the drummer, ain't he? Oh, they always like the drummer. Look at him. He's happy. It's great to be back with y'all this evening. And I asked the pastor if I could not wear a tie tonight. Just when you got jowls like I do sometimes. You know, when I get to heaven, if the guy is there that invented the tie, I'm going to have a little visit with him. I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus. You with me, brother? Look at you. You get looking a good blue tie, you old drummer, you. But you're the shortest haired drummer I've seen in a long time. So you boys be proud of your daddy. And just look at your daddy and realize that's what your hair's going to look like one day. But that's okay. You know, words are important. Precious words. We all have those precious words. And sometimes we have fun with them. You know, Valentine's is around the corner. And we say, I love you. And I love my wife, my little honey love, my sugar babe, my woman. And I'll say, I love you. And I love you. And I'm a verbal person. I tell her I love you all the time. We're opposites, really. I mean, she's in the 10% of women that don't talk constantly. I'm in the 10% of men that don't talk constantly, that do. I'm the 10% of men that talk constantly. She's in the 10% that don't talk constantly. When we go to a marriage enrichment conference, I go with the women, she goes with the men. Isn't that weird? Because our communication skills, I'm more like a woman. I talk all the time, you know, or at least for the majority. But words are important, what you say, you know. To say I love you, you know, Valentine's coming around the corner. Some of you older gentlemen, you might be, you know, out of the stock of your daddy, who he wasn't a big I love you guy. You know, my daddy, Floyd Leon, 6'2", 220 in his prime, just wasn't a big I love you guy. You know, I'd say, Dad, love you. And he'd go, all right. All righty. I said, well, you going to tell me you love me? Your mother's been looking forward to seeing you. I said, Dad, just tell me. I know you love me. Just tell me you love me. That's all she's been talking about is you coming down here. I had a lot of fun with it. I'd press it sometime. Dad, I'm about to go. You love me? You going to tell me you love me? Have you checked your oil lately? You know, he just wasn't good at it. You know, his generation, his dad, you know, came from Sweden. My grandpa came from Sweden when he was 14 years old. He was an orphan. He and his sister came on the Lusitania in 1912. And so he didn't have a dad. So when he was being a dad to my dad, you know, he didn't have a dad, but he probably did the best he could. He was good, worked hard. Matter of fact, man, I'm going to tell you this. Ladies, I'll tell you this. All the young people, let me tell you this. You know, sometimes I get tired of sometimes hearing guys say, well, my dad never said I love you. And, you know, let me tell you something. If he got up and went to work every day like my daddy did, my dad ran printing presses from 6:30 till 4:30 every day for 45 years. And when he got off work at 4:30, we cut grass and we did moving and hauling. And we'd work extra. We worked all day Saturday moving and hauling to make extra money. I remember on Saturday I'd say, Dad, you know, my buddies, they go play golf or something. He goes, why would you want to chase a little white ball when you could work and maybe make $100? I said, maybe to rest. He said, we do that on Sunday, son. And I'm just, but you know what? I've grown up. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I acted as a child. But when I became a man, I put away some childish things. And you know what? There's not a better way sometimes to say I love you than to provide and protect for your family, for your family, your sugar babe, your honey love, your kids. I know my dad loved me. You know, there's a lot of people that can give lip service, and they're pitiful. And y'all know who they are. You've got some in your family. You know who they are. Don't act so holy. You know they're pitiful. Now, I will say this, ladies. Go easy on your son-in-law. You know, ease up on him now. Bless his heart, the old boy. He tries hard, but he's so far behind in the score, he's never going to catch up. Some of you ladies have that bar for him to jump over at 7'9". Listen, he's 6'240". He ain't going over the bar. Lower the bar about an inch off the ground. Let him step over it and have a victory. I shared that at a church one time, and a man in the back said, "He'll trip over it." And I just, we about lost it that whole time. But, love him. And men, word goes for us too. Love your son-in-law. One day, there's going to come a day when you're going to be in the assisted care living center, the second stage of the assisted care living center. And when that day comes, you know, your wife and daughter may just go, "Ugh, I'm sorry. I can't help him." It may be your son-in-law will go, "It don't bother me. I'll take care of him. I'll take care of your daddy." And I said, "You know what you'll say then, man? He's the finest son-in-law. Every time he comes to see me, he brings me the best pair of pull-ups you can buy." You know what I mean? So, you're not laughing now, but one day when you get a little older, buddy, you will be. You'll be thankful. But so, you know, we go easy on folks. But words are important. Words are important. To be able to say to people, "I love you, I appreciate you," give them words. You know, Paul gave us words. He was good with words. He wrote letters, and he expressed it. And Valentine's is coming around the corner, and man, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, these are some good words. I was a pastor for 22 years. Then in 1995, I left the pastorate to do this full time. But I did a lot of weddings, did a lot of funerals, a lot of weddings, and so many times they wanted me to read 1 Corinthians 13. And a lot of times, mother-in-laws, "I want you to read 1 Corinthians 13. And when you come to that part that says, 'Love suffers long and is kind,' I want you to stare at him in the face." You know, I said, "Now, ma'am, I'll read it to both of them." "Well, he needs to hear it, you know." Well, words are important. And I do love that. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." That agape kind of love. And you just can't beat love. I love my family. I love my daddy, Floyd Leon, 6'2", 220 in his prime. My dad was a fast-pitch softball player. He could hum that ball. Fast pitch softball was huge back then. Now, the women play fast pitch in college and high school, and they're amazing. My dad was the old windmill style. They called him the hurler. They did articles in the Austin American newspaper every week on fast pitch. It was huge. They all wanted my daddy to pitch for them. The police had a team. The firemen had a team. The banks had teams. Texas Power and Light people had a team. They all wanted my dad to pitch for him, and he was good. One week he had 2 no-hitters in 1 week. Man, he could hum. He was an old farm boy. He was raised, as a sharecropper. He milked a lot of cows and all that, and slopped the hogs and did all that kind of work, before breakfast, and then go off to school. And he's just a working man. Drove that John Deere, Poppin' Johnny. Look at right this man here. There's snow on the rooftop, but there's a fire in the furnace, I can tell. He drove that popping Johnny that all day long. He'd plow, he'd tell me, from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening and get a dollar a day. I heard that a million times. I wish I had a dollar for every time he told me that. Every Christmas, my daddy was the type. I'll tell you one thing, we had a good Christmas. We had a good Christmas. If you got an apple and an orange and some hard candy, that was a good Christmas. Man, I heard that forever. I remember one time, though, he said, I remember when my brother Gene got his first orange. I said, Dad, you do not remember that. Like it was yesterday. He said, I held it up. He held it up and said, look here, Floyd, a baby pumpkin. You know, they were something, weren't they? Love my daddy. Love Floyd Leon. Love my mama, Pauline Bernadine, 5 foot tall, healthy. I didn't get into this with the ladies yesterday. Now, Beth, calm down over there. My mama's healthy. She's got that hangy-down part on each arm. Some of you young girls, look at some of you there. Pray that God will give you some. Allison, you're thin, honey. Develop some right there. You know, you have not because you ask not. You know, I think it's a spiritual gift. At Thanksgiving and Christmas, they can mash them taters. You know what I mean? And I'm man Allison, you know, she can sing, but she's probably just. But my mama, Pauline, she got to hang it down. And she, at Christmas, it's just like a shimmy. It's a gift. And just only problem is, you know, my mama, she wears Alfred. I get her Alfred Dunner outfits. I saw several this morning. Yeah. Alfred Dunner. Little blouse, little jacket. And the breeches are elastic. They just woo, woo. They just woo, woo. And I wish he'd make some for us, you know. At Christmas, she'd always mash those tapes. She's always would do that. She'd say, Laurie, let me do it. My mom's 92. Well, not this Christmas, but the previous Christmas, we snuck her out during the COVID and took to our house, and there she was going. Now, the problem is my mama wears a lot of talcum powder. Talcum powder, young people. Talcum powder. Because back on the farm, you didn't take a bath every night. You'd take one a week maybe or something. You took a spit bath. If you don't know a spit bath, find someone with white hair here, and they'll tell you what a spit bath is. But you wore talcum powder to absorb perspiration. And problem is, now my mom, I've got her in independent living. She doesn't need that much talcum powder because she's in independent living. It's got air conditioning and everything. But she still wears a lot of talcum powder. I don't know how to tell her to back off of the talcum powder. But two Christmases ago, she was going in, and talcum powder was poofing out of her Alfred Dunner outfit. It looked like a crop duster. I mean, and the powder landed on our food. Our food looked like powdered donuts at Shipley's. My wife, her people are very well-to-do, and she's going, oh, my gosh. My people, we weren't white collar, we weren't blue collar, we were more ring around the collar. And can I tell you something? When I learn something, I pass it on. You cannot taste it. The talcum powder. I finally got her one. It took me a while to win her over, but I got her. I got there. You're first chair, too, aren't you? But and it keeps you regular. I was going to tell you that. I don't know that could minister to someone here. But I love my mom and my dad. Matter of fact, I remember they were married 63 years. And when my daddy died in 2012, I said, Mama, what was daddy like when y'all dated? Your mama always liked me telling this story. And I said, what was daddy like when y'all dated? She said, I would have never asked my mother or father something like that. I said, well, I'm a different generation, Mom. I know my dad's a good man. My dad was a godly man. My dad taught Sunday school, Hyde Park Baptist Church. My dad was an usher. My dad was in charge of the tea on Wednesday night supper, and that's huge. That's huge. You just don't move into that spot. You know, you work your way up. Pray about it, drummer. Pray about it. So, anyhow, he's a good man. I said, Mama, I know he's a good man. But what was he like when y'all dated? You teenagers, y'all ever wondered about your mom and daddy? what they were like, our mamma and papa, mimi, pops, poops, pops, big mama, gaga, gigi, what they were like when they dated. I was just curious. I said, mama, what was daddy like? And my mama said, well, whew, your daddy was very aggressive. I said, Deacon Floyd? Well, he wasn't always a deacon, I'll tell you that. I said, mother, did he kiss you on the first date? Right on the mouth. Took my breath away. I asked him where he learned to kiss like that. He said, siphoning gas at Fort Hood. So, a couple military guys in here started perking up a little bit. They're just good folks. You know, I loved my grandparents. They weren't big talkers, you know, but I loved being with them and go to their house, spend the night at Grandma and Grandpa's house. You can't beat Grandma and Grandpa's house. Just something about Grandma and Grandpa's house. And we'd watch television. Grandpa, he'd watch his television. I can still see that television. Grandma had crocheted a doily to go on top of it. A doily. A doily. A little gal behind Allison back there, a little blonde right there. Yeah, do you crochet, huh? Do you embroidery? You do what? You've done some? Okay, all right. Is that symbolic of... Not really. But she crocheted a doily. And then they had rabbit ears on top of the doily with aluminum foil around the rabbit ears. Y'all with me now? And we would watch Grandpa's favorite shows were Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel, and Wagon Train. And right after Wagon Train, my grandpa would say, turn it off. Let it cool down. Let it rest. I said, Grandpa, it's a television. It can go for hours. Let it cool down, you know. I remember we finally got our television. Man, that was huge. My daddy went and bought one at Gibson's Discount Center. And we brought that TV home. We plugged it in, turned all the lights out because black and white television shows up better in the dark. And man, we were watching television. I mean, I'm watching some of those shows. I mean, I loved it. We only got one channel. We had one channel, but man, I loved it. I'd watch Andy Griffith, Old Barney. Oh, is anybody singing Thelma Lou? I mean, I watched it so much. Many of you may know this story. It's on my YouTube channel and everything. But I was sitting in the back of our little country church, and the preacher said, what should we do with sin? And in the voice of Don Knotts, I just from the back, I said, nip it in the bud. And that's when I got nipped in the bud. The word became flesh and dwelt among me. But I loved watching television. I'd watch Jimmy Stewart movies. His words would get to me about every single time. At Christmas time, it wasn't but a month or so ago, I watched it again. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. You're the education man, aren't you? You're a good man and helping in the choir too. Do they pay you extra? Where's the love? Jimmy Stewart, you can't beat Jimbo Stewart, can you? Those movies get me every single time. I mean, during the COVID, I'd watch, just like I did as a kid, I'd watch Oldie Goldies. John Wayne, I'd watch him. Can you imagine if he'd been a preacher? All kinds of things in the Bible. Smoking is in the Bible. Bible says Rebecca saw Isaac and lit upon a camel. Y'all are a protected group here. That's an oldie goatee. But I'd watch all those. I remember watching Ronald Reagan when he was an actor. And then, of course, when he was president. Well, yes, no, maybe. Many of you remember, and Wayne and Beth know this, they remember those days. They made a big to-do about my age. And it bothered Nancy. They always brought up my age. I remember one time having coffee with Abraham Lincoln, and he said it bothered him too. Now, I did a Republican, so now I've got to do a Democrat to just even things out. Nowadays, you got to do that. So here's my Bill Clinton. Hey, let me just say this, okay? I have not told Hillary this, okay? I feel like it could push her over the edge. I voted for Trump. I mean, he paid for my golf game and gave me a dozen golf balls. Have you seen his wife, millennial? Okay, moving on. You know, words, of all our movie stars, just words. Words are special, you know. We like words. We hang on them. John Wayne, his words, you know, his just little phrases. I remember in Big Jake, Richard Boone was the bad guy, and he was dying at the end of the movie. He looks up at John Wayne. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jacob McCandles." He said, "I thought you were dead." Remember what Duke said? "Not hardly." I love that. That little phrase, see us old people, young fella, us old, we're just simple people. But that thrills me, just not hardly. I've often had a big imagination. I've often wondered when Jesus rose from the grave, you know, and he was there, and they thought he was the gardener, you know, remember that? You know, I don't know, I doubt he did this, but I mean, this, it'd be sort of funny if they said, "Are you the gardener?" He might have said, "Not hardly." I'm going to move on. There's some ladies back in the back going, "I don't think that was appropriate." Okay. I'm a humorist, man. I'm a humorist. But, and John chapter 21 says, if we had everything Jesus said or did, there wouldn't be enough books or volumes of books to contain it. So, you know, that gives me a little leeway with the scripture, with my imagination. But anyhow, I love those, their words, you know, their words, and they capture you. You know, when I was in ninth grade, Sesame Street began. When I was in the ninth grade, I thank God for Sesame Street because I learned my alphabet and learned to count past 10. Remember Kermit the Frog?
Kermit the Frog here. Hi there. And here is my friend, Miss Piggy. Oh, Kerm. Okay there.
And just trying to find out what level we're all on here. Just a little test there. Words are precious, you know. My dad, he gave me a lot of good words. My little mama gave me good words, you know. Especially like when I'd come home from football practice, one of her famous lines that some people remember over the years is I'd come home and she'd say, hug your mother. I was 16 going through that stage. "Mama, I ain't going to hug you." I said, "Hug your mother." I said, "Mama, I ain't going to hug you, honey. What are we going to eat?" I said, "Hug your mother." And you know they're getting upset when they skip syllables and say, "I hug your mother." And my daddy was sitting in a recliner, old Floyd. Well, he didn't want Mama unhappy because then he'd be unhappy. So he turned and looked, and he said, "You better hug your mother." Boy, when Floyd Leon said that, man, I put my arms around her barely. She said, "That's not a hug." And then I looked at my daddy, and I read his lips, "Hug your mother." I picked her up, I squeezed her tight, I kissed her on the neck and right on the mouth, like in the movies. I planted one on her. And she pulls away and she said, "I'm your mother." I said, "Well, I kissed you." She said, "I don't care for that kind of kissing on my mouth." And I thought, well, poor old daddy. But you know, when you're 16, when you're 16, they don't tell you everything, ma'am, do they? And it wasn't later till I found about siphoning gas. But anyhow, I love those words. I love these words that the greatest is love, and those words that you'll cherish forever. My daddy, I cherish his words, you know, the words that he would tell me. He would say to me things like, you know, "You can change your character overnight, but not your reputation." You know, just you remember little things like that. My dad had a little sign up in the office that said, "Happiness is learning to like what you do." He put that up on a little bitty sign, made a little sign, worked there 45 years. Happiness is learning to like what you do. He worked and did that for his family, for his loved ones. Other words, there'd be times just during the day, my dad was just out of the blue, when we'd be at home, go, "Never forget the birth, or the life, and the death, and the resurrection." I went, "Oh, okay, Dad, what brought that up?" "Just don't ever forget it." You know, we'd all look at each other like, getting a sermon here from a good old layman. But I remember then, as those years went by, when my dad was older and my dad had Alzheimer's. That's a tough old disease. You know, he kept going to church. You know, Mama would cover for him. Most everybody knew, but not everybody knew, but she'd cover for him. But then it got worse and worse. It was a 7-year ordeal. You know, there were times I'd be there at the house and Mama would say, "Daddy, get me a Dr. Pepper out of the refrigerator." Well, he'd go open up a cabinet. She said, "That is not the refrigerator." I said, Mama, he don't know. He knows what a refrigerator is. I said, "Mama, you're crossing over. You've been with him too much. You're losing it." "I'm not losing it." "Daddy, get me a Dr. Pepper." Well, he'd finally open the refrigerator. He'd bring out a grape jelly. And "That's not a Dr. Pepper." I said, "Mama, you know, I mean, it's tough being a caregiver." Yeah. Any of y'all been caregivers? Yeah. You have a mama or someone that care? They need help, but they don't always want help. You know, but finally the day came where my dad had to go into a hospice his last 6 months. And man, I love my daddy. And the temptation is to say, "That's not my dad anymore. You know, I lost my dad back when that Alzheimer's started." Well, hold on. That's your daddy. He's my daddy. You're not someone because of what you do. You're someone because of who you are. He's my daddy. And I'm going to love my daddy. I'm going to take care of my daddy. And so I'd visit him and say, "Hey, Dad." One time I said, "Dad, how you doing?" He went, "Hey." He was in a wheelchair. Everybody in there either sleep in these wheelchairs. I love Lucy's on the big screen, and nobody's watching it, and the nurses are in that little circular deal, you know, filling out their forms. And here he is, a wheelchair right there by him. And I said, "Well, how you doing?" He said, "Every woman here is pregnant." I looked around. They're all 80 and above. I said, "Dad, I don't think so." He said, "Every one of them." I said, "Well, you live here. I guess you ought to know." And he looked at me and went. And, you know, we still laugh about that. My mom's 92, and we still laugh about that. Sometimes it's better to laugh than to cry. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And if your bones dry up, they can get brittle and break, and then you can't walk or run, and then you got to take Boniva. Boniva, young lady, Boniva. Do you know about that? It's for bone density. Sometimes women have to take Boniva for osteoporosis, for bone density. Let me tell you what I do for my bone density. Bluebell ice cream. But my dad, you know, there were times he had a little roommate, this guy from Vietnam. Never spoke a word of English. We never saw any family member being there. And just a little fella, probably 5'2", maybe 5'3" at the most. And he just laid there. And we'd go in. I said, "Dad, how are you?" And Mr. Lou Chu or whatever his name was. And my dad said, "He's the finest man I have ever known." I said, "Really? He's the finest man I've ever known." I said, "Mr. Lou Chu, what do you think about that?" Well, he just looked at me and I said, "Well, Dad, he's the finest man." We were so thankful my dad was compliant. Yeah. Sometimes they're not compliant. That's right. Sometimes they'll be mean. Some of you might have had the sweetest mom or the sweetest dad, but then in that disease, they can be mean. So unlike themselves. But we were fortunate. My dad, he was still kind and compliant. And then I remember before the Alzheimer's, we were thinking it was sort of coming. I said, "Dad, I hate to ask you to do this, but you're going to have to transfer your possessions under my name." And we wasn't going to be able to do it under my sister's because they were having financial difficulties and issues and stuff. I said, "They're going to have to trust me, but we need to do that to protect Mom, make sure she'll be taken care of. Uncle Sam is an uncle, but he shouldn't be a close relative." And so we got the CPAs and the attorneys, and my dad and mom didn't have that much, but what they had, all he needed to do was sign it over. All he needed to do was sign. And so here we are, my mom, my sisters, we're right there, and the CPA says, "Mr. Swanberg, if you'll just sign right there." We showed him where to sign, but I intervened. I said, "Dad, do you have any questions before you sign?" Well, when I did that, the attorney and the CPA are going, oh, my gosh, don't open the can of worms or whatever. I said, no, Daddy, do you have any questions? And this is what my daddy, Floyd Leon, said. Are you ready?
Will I be able to write my tithe check?
I said, yes, sir. You'll be able to write your tithe check. And he said,
I'm ready to sign then.
You know, if I could have one last thought about my daddy before I see my daddy in heaven, it'll be that thought.
Will I be able to write my tithe check?
When I drove by your facility today and seen those beams going up and the work going on, I said, oh, Lord, give Morningside even more men like Floyd Leon.
Yes. Will I be able to write my tithe check?
When we got older and on our own, he said, y'all be fine. And they upped it to 15% and 20%. And, you know, I'm sort of going, you don't have to go overboard.
Will I be able to write my tithe check?
And then, 2 weeks before my dad died, Laurie and I are sitting there with my daddy, this mountain of a man that was 6'2", 220 in his prime. He's 147. Got his arms all, you know, wrapped up because he bleeds. He can cut himself and skin so. And, you know, mine's getting that way. I'm crossing over. I get little hickeys all over my arm. Can I say hickey? But anyhow, you know what I'm saying. Well, there she goes again. She's getting tickled. My skin is the type now that when I go to a truck stop and wash my hands and put my hands under that blower, my skin looks like Gulf Shores, Alabama. Like the tide going out and coming back in. My wife, Laurie, wants me to get my skin clipped on my eyes because I got all this skin. See, young man? One day, see, in the morning, I have to lift it up. I have to lift up. And she wants me to get it clipped. I'm afraid to do it. Because I don't want to come back next time and you know, I get up here and I look at y'all and I go, hey, how's it going? And some old boy in the back, old Burkhalter back there, goes, is that Kenny Rogers? You know. That was tacky. I shouldn't have done that. That was tacky. Kenny's dead. But anyhow, my daddy, so I go up to him, and he's sleeping, and he's in a fetal kind of position, and I'm trying to wake him up. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy.
And he, hey.
I said, Daddy. And I told Laurie, I said, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see. If he know, I knew my dad's life verse. I knew my dad's favorite scripture. I said, Daddy, do you have a favorite scripture?
Huh?
Do you have a favorite scripture? And he looked at me and he said,
in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path.
And those were the last words I ever heard my daddy say. Proverbs 3:6. So when I sign a book out there now, I put Proverbs 3:6. Why? Because my daddy. You know, words. Words are important. There are words important for you. And there's words from Jesus throughout the whole New Testament. A message I was thinking about preaching this morning that I didn't. But when he said in Matthew 11:28, come to me. It was more of an invitation than a command. Come to me. Is your heart heavy? Is your load heavy? Listen, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me. Come to me. Don't come to a religious system or this or that. Come to me. Come. We used to sing a song way back where Brother Two, wherever Brother Two is. Where is he? Back on the back row. Well, we're going to tell God about that. remember how we would sing, come, Let us reason together. That's what God said. One of them songs way back in the 70s. Come. Remember when the man in Macedonia said to Paul, come, come over here. Could you come over here? Come. And, oh, words. And he says to you and to me, I will give you a rest that you know not of. This morning I was pretty open, I guess, you know, and just telling about stuff and a little bit about our life and what have you. You know what it does to you sometimes when life gets a little hard with you or your loved ones or what have you. You know what it does to you? Makes you tired. Makes you tired, doesn't it? Sometimes it makes you tired. It gets you weary. You know what you do in those situations? You listen and hear him say, come, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. You know, you can stay home a whole day. You can sleep in the bed, you know, and there's times when you need to do all that. But if you really want rest in the midst of life, you come to him. You come to him for rest. He will give you the rest you need as you need it. And we all need it. And you come as you are. Come as you are. And here's a good thing. When you come to him, according to Isaiah, when we think that some come, let us reason, I think Isaiah 61, I think, he will give you a robe of righteousness. He will make things right for you. He does that for you and me. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a friend. Aren't we glad that we heard him speak to us? Don't you know it meant a lot, his words to the thief on the cross? Today you shall be with me in paradise. Precious, precious words. When he said to Simon Peter in John 21, when he came was on the shore and fixed him a breakfast, and he said, do you love me? Do you love me? He gave him an opportunity to counter the time that he had denied him. He loves to give you and me opportunity to start today, to start right now where we are, his words. All these words I've given you tonight are words hopefully that, you know, bring you a little laughter and a little joy. We've had a little fun with it. But the best words of all are from him, and to hear from him, to get a word from him. And as I said this morning, if you've never heard God speak out loud, in your quiet time, just open the Bible and start reading, and you will hear him speak. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God lasts forever. Now, in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity here to do business with Jesus, whatever you want to do. If you need to give your life to him, if you need to pray, join the church, or what have you. But I will tell you, before we do that, I want you to know, if you need some of those products out there, I've got a book. I forgot about this. It's a new book called Breakfast Bible and Bull. Did it during the COVID. Every man, 52 devotionals for a man. Every man needs a good breakfast, good Bible study, and shoot the bull with his buddies. And man, it's a good book. One chapter. But I ran out of them. Their shipment's coming February 7th. But if you want one, just fill out a little form, and you just pay $10, and we'll pay the shipping and handling and send it to you. So my wife told me to tell you that, and I forgot to do it yesterday and this morning, so there's going to be a judgment day when I get home. I have my other books and other stuff, 3 for $20 and all that, so I wanted you to know about that. There's a few more of those books, No More Secrets, and everybody's got secrets. But I failed to say this morning something I think is important. I like that old song. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, let's see. He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. So give them to Jesus and be free. And be free to live and enjoy your life. And let them come around when they come around. Let me tell you, you and I can't convict anybody of their sin. Only the Holy Spirit can convict someone. We can be a witness. We witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. We love in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we leave the results to God. And that's free. That frees me. That frees me. So I hope it'll free you. I've enjoyed being with you. But more than anything, the Lord is glad that you're here in His house. The church is where it's at. Don't ever forget it. I tell people all the time, I have a nonprofit ministry. What I do, we're set up as a nonprofit. But I will be the first to tell you, if what I do does not complement the work of the church, I am out of line. The church is where it's at. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You continue to be faithful to your church. I pray that you'll keep coming. We had at our church today, Dustin, he called me and he said we had 30 more in the first service than a week ago, and we had 20-something more than the second service a week ago. And people are started coming back. I tell them, you need to be with God's people. Do not forsake the assembling together, but rather come together and encourage one another. I'm bold, being I'm not the pastor. Pastors can't really do this, but I say to my friends my age, I'm 68, I go, hey, have you been to Walmart? I've been to Walmart. We have to go get some things at Walmart. Do you go to CVS and Walgreens? Oh, we go to CVS. Well, do you go to your grandson's football game? We love watching him. Well, are you going to come to church? We don't want to get to COVID. We don't want to give it. We don't want to get it. I said, but you go do all those other things? Well, because we need to. I went, the Bible says, may we not neglect the assembling together, but rather come and encourage one another. Use common sense. Use your head. Be healthy. You're sick. Don't want you up here, et cetera, et cetera. Take appropriate measures. But know this, we need each other. And we need to see a friendly face and a happy face. So don't ever give that up, okay? Don't ever give it up. And, you know, I know my drummer and my soloist, they're probably not going to sit this close next time I come speak, but I'll find you out there. I've enjoyed being with you. Now listen, here's your time. The Lord Jesus, He's right here. He's with us. And He says, come. He says, come as you are. And don't just come to come. Come to me. He's waiting for you to come. Billy Graham was always so good, wasn't he? Won't you come? We want you to come. Your family will wait for you. Won't you to come? I'd watch that over and over the years. And here's the good news. Jesus is the one who says, come. Come to me. Right before that, Israel had rejected him. Jerusalem rejected him. So he looked at those individuals and said, you come to me. And they did. Many of them did. May you come to Jesus tonight. Would you stand? Would you sing? And would you come? He's waiting. And he's saying, come.